The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is the Y Factor. Is IT ready? Are CIOs ready? Our guests for today's show are Tim Caspi. He's the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer with Sears Holding Corporation. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. Very good. I'm enjoying the cloudy yet little sunny weather in Chicago. And I'm sure you're in Chicago as well, so you're enjoying the same.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Very good. And we also have John Gillespie, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Iowa's Information Technology Enterprise Office, CIO of State of Iowa, and the former president of NASCIO, which is the National Association of State CIOs. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sanjo.
How are you, sir?
I'm great. Glad to be here. And we're having wonderful weather here in Iowa as well.
So no difference. So in terms of business climate and climate in general, I think Iowa and Chicago, you know, share quite a similarity there. Now, with respect to the Gen Y, the topic here, the unique animals, if you will, that we always look at and say, where did these guys come from? How do we handle them? Why are they so unmanageable? Why are they so unruly? The goal is to find out, is that the case, or truly they are just different, and we have to create a world around them so that their productivity, their efficiency, their talent totally blossom and we get the most of it. So what exactly is made them what they are today? Tim.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this generation, they probably are the ones that are truly born into the technology and information technology age, where the advent of the Windows, simpler to use computers, internet, and the whole area of instant and swift was available for them from a very, very young age, and I think that that's what shaped some of the characteristics that we see in them, is that, you know, if you look at the Gen Xers, we went through the DOS, the mainframes, and so on, and they still had to have the remnant of it, but the Gen Y, I think, had a platform that was set up technology wise that was so easy to use that they caught on to it, and the expectation is what changed between Gen X and Gen Y in terms of how you retrieve information, how you address it, and how you process it. The best exemplification of that is seen in things like MySpace and Facebook and Twitter now, and many other. So I think that just being born into the internet age, so to speak, is what has given them, the freedom of information, the federation of information, and it just up the ante in terms of what they expect out of technology, and that is also, the reason that we are seeing some cult technologies, what I call cult technologies, and started seeing those with the iPods and iTunes, and now you can say to a certain extent that the latest one is the Twitter, but Google to a certain extent is also can be classified into that cult, and it really is the work of the Gen Y generation to make that that cult around technology even fathomable.
Now this is very interesting. So John, would you think what Tim just mentioned, how much of a technology influence is there in our personal lives and the way we become what we are today? I mean, we're Gen X because that was mainframe. That's why we are slower?
I don't think so. I thought Gary Hamel said it pretty well in his blog on March 24th about the Facebook generation versus the Fortune 500. The expectations of Gen Y relative to what the Fortune 500 wants are somewhat different. For example, Hamel says that all ideas compete on an equal footing, and they gain traction based on their perceived merits, that leaders serve rather than preside. Many of these come from the way the Internet is structured, and you end up with a group that looks at the world through a different lens, and it gives the technology tools different meaning, and the way they use technology is different than many of us do. I mean, how many of the Gen Xers want to be followed? They're just very different, and they have groups that self-define and organize themselves, and they're much more interested in choosing tasks than having tasks assigned. Does that make any sense?
I'm just trying to understand that, is this a genetic alteration, or basically is it because of the exposure of technology or the way we connected with each other has what made the difference, and that's what has made them people who would always challenge whatever is going on, and they would always want things like as if they're entitled to it. So is this something which is deep down within, or is it the parenting style has changed? What exactly seems to have changed because of this? These are totally unrecognizable alien species to most of us. Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that apart from them being born in the technology/internet age, also one of the main difference that we have seen with this generation is they also are born in an age where there is a lot of affluence and a lot of freedom, relatively speaking, compared to what the world has enjoyed before, and the right to express and be heard. And you know, it is a very interesting discussion because you may know that last year I worked in India as a CIO for the largest company over there, and the workforce there is entirely in the IT, entirely made up of the Gen Y generation, especially in IT, with the way IT has taken off in that country. And the similarities between the Gen Y in that culture and in this culture is strikingly similar in terms of their expectation, their drive, their forthrightness, and what John just said about self-forming, self-directing, that attribute about it. And we here at Sears, we have all ages working for us here, and have been very successful with Gen Ys. And what we have done is let them lead some of these things in the way they want to, in that there are certain projects that we have given freedom to our teams to self-form and self-direct and self-lead, and have enjoyed some significant results and very shortened delivery time because of that approach. I think that the Fortune 50 or 500, we have to definitely adjust to their working style, their work ethic, and definitely agree that there is affliction of affluence around this whole age that that gets them to expect instantaneity as well as sense of entitlement to succeed.
Now, the question for you, John, is that when I have a gun on my head that I need to deliver something yesterday, how flexible am I as an IT leader or as the IT middle manager to deal with somebody's whimsical approach, and or not, I would say whimsical, but that's not the way they are wired. Am I ready to change my own fabric when I have my own job at stake?
Well, I think that you have to adopt your management style in order to get the best out of anyone. And as managers, we've been doing that for years. That's not anything new to us. The things that drive Gen Y aren't all that different than Gen X. Gen Ys thrive on structure. They've had structure their whole lives, primarily because their parents brought them structure to make sure that they had lots of experiences. They tend to want to improve, and they keep asking exactly what concrete actions they can take. And you need to ask, as a manager, what steps can you take in order to improve and get this done? They want to learn. They've been immersed in learning since the day the parents began celebrating their birth. A very important thing is they need to know how to get from you, i.e. the manager, what they want. And you can use that as a opportunity to motivate for milestones that you need to have accomplished. Some of these thoughts came from an article called How to Work Better with Gen Y in Fortune magazine, and I think there are a lot of good tidbits in there. Gen Ys bring a wealth of technical knowledge to the workplace and a tremendous openness to new ideas, things that add a lot of value in the workplace.
So, Tim, in your view, do you think these kids want to be managed at all?
Yeah, I believe so. And you see, the way we do this is, you know, I set only impossible goals for my team, okay? Because, you know, the firm belief here is that possible can be done by anybody, right? And the differentiation is those who attempt the impossible are the differentiators and world changers. And when you cast that vision on them, you would not believe what these guys do, you know. I mean, we have, workplaces that look fairly traditional, like cubicles and so on, but then we all have agile rooms for agile development where, you know, we have business IT mixed together. We have offices downtown, you know, for our online development and iPhone, Apple type development that's going on, and so we have provided them fertile soil to excel in our workplace, and adjusted even our things like the ambiance in the office to make sure that we give them a sense of success, accomplishment, and goals that they rise up to at the same time environment that they can thrive in. So, you won't be surprised, like 10 p.m. On a given night, you don't be surprised if the pizza ordered in our State Street office. that's the work environment in Sears, and that's how they work, you know, and we absolutely respect that. And absolutely provide that environment for them to succeed. But yeah, that is true. They want recognition, and when you give them the impossible, it is amazing what they will go and do, way beyond the call of duty. The other point I want to also make here is that, you know, these kids are really passionate about the whole open source movement, you know. So you have the two worlds that are running in parallel, so to speak, today. The ordered world in technology and the emergent world. And the ordered world is more like your Microsoft, IBM, Cisco, HP, Oracle, SAP, and so on and so forth, where innovation, you know, we would look to these guys for innovation, right? And what we are seeing is that more and more innovation from these ordered or traditional IT providers is really coming from them acquiring little guys, right? But the true innovation today, actually, or most of it is happening with companies that are what I would classify into an emergent world, where, you know, it's a garage with some open source, you know, Rails and PHP and so on, and they've put some skunk works together and come up with a tool that, you know, that is not coming out of one of our mainstream providers. So if you look closely, you see that the Gen Y generation is making a huge impact in terms of the shift that's going on from the proprietary to open, as well as from the order to the emergent. And we have, you know, braced ourselves for that change to ensure that we provide a environment that actually helps them thrive in the way they are gifted and the way they are bent.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and explore this style that Tim mentioned about setting up impossible tasks, and people who really want to take them on, they are the ones who would be the winners and the game changers. And with pizza at 10 p.m. is also one of the things that we are used to seeing in IT anyways. However, the Gen Y says that I want the life to be driving what work I do versus work to be driving what life I live. How are we handling that at the same time, giving them the challenging work and making them do the work that they want to do at the same time, meet our corporate goals as well? How do we eat the cake and have it too? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
There are two fundamentals required for business success today. The first is a robust strategy, one that's in sync with the marketplace and has a focus on delivering value. The second business fundamental is talent. The single biggest factor in the sustained health of a company is having the right people in the right roles doing the right things. Join Michael Couch, the president of Michael Couch & Associates, each week as he explores elements of these two fundamentals on The Voice of Business Growth, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So what we are discussing is what Tim mentioned as setting up impossible tasks which would challenge and bring out the best in people, and only will identify the game changers. And then we will have a work environment where people are ordering pizza at 10 p.m., which actually has not been a very uncommon. Even when I was in IT, I could see that happening over and over. Now, with Gen Y, they want to have the life the way they want to live their life define what work they do versus the other way around, that is, work is defining how they live. So, John, in your view, is that something which is going to be a stumbling block and a hindrance in getting the most out of them?
I don't believe so. I believe that it's, again, a matter of adopting our management styles to more the norms that they're used to living with, where things like contributions count more than credentials. How do I contribute to the organization? They come from a world where groups are more self-organizing, and they choose their tasks, and then they contribute on those tasks. They want to make a difference, and they want to make a difference quickly. So it's up to us as managers to create an environment for them to succeed in.
So do you think if they resist carrying a pager, is that a negative sign?
It's not so much a negative sign. What you have to do is adopt how you reach them when they're not working, because they're usually multitasking, and they're probably much better at multitasking than any generation before them.
So, Tim, what creative ideas do you think you would have utilized and or you're planning to utilize to make sure that if people, while they want to prove themselves, but yet they want to have more fun in terms of how they spend their time in 24 hours, to get them to do what you want them to do and still meet your goals?
Well, again, you have to create opportunities for them to excel based upon the way they define how they want to live their life. The challenges that are put in front of them are often what motivate them, and if they've had the opportunity to self-select them, then there's a higher probability that they're going to run forward with them and make those things successful. I read about a manager at a large manufacturing company who had an intractable problem that they'd been working on for many years trying to solve, and he turned two of his recent hires loose on the problem with a mentor, and they solved the problem, saving the company tens of millions of dollars. And it's a problem that no one had found a way to solve. So, again, it was the opportunity to make a difference that motivated them to go out and do the work. So when they're motivated, no different than anyone else, they will do what it takes to get the job done.
So, Tim, what creative ideas have you utilized to get most out of these people when they may not like to have the type of work-life balance that we used to have in our own, you know, work environments when we were at that level?
Yeah, I think that there are certain things, right, that stand out as values, and you got to really find out, and there's so much you can generalize, and then, you know, you really have to know the person and a specific group of people before you can apply to everyone. But some of the key themes that we have seen is, you know, a challenge. Challenge is a very important thing for them. And then associated with that is a reward. I mean, if you show them what this means to the company and business and the country, I mean, these guys will do amazing work for you. So those go hand in hand in terms of the challenge and the reward. The other part that that is also important is reward is kind of defined in few ways for this generation. First is the meaning of what does it actually mean for the company, business, country, all that. But also in terms of the pay scale, as well as, and in some instances what we find is education is more important than the pay scale, to be up to speed on the newer technologies, to be up to speed on all the different cross platforms and so on. And you know, when you unleash that and give that sandbox for them to go explore, I think that you know, you're definitely going to get really good output from this generation. Knowing that, you know, they believe that, you know, they feel heard, they feel like, you know, we're respecting the way they work. So these are some of the key themes. But, you know, what we have done here is, you know, tried a couple things. You know, first of all, is that anyone that comes here, you know, I want to delight all our employees, all our associates. That's our number one goal. You know, I know that we want everyone, but that's at least a goal that we set, right? So we look at, you know, what different ingredients will take us to that ultimate goal of delighting them. And then, you know, flexibility comes into play as well. You know, you know, my mantra, so to speak, is that, you know, your personal life, your kids, your family, all that, you know, is way more important. So, you know, even if you have the biggest review coming up, but you have a, you know, violin concert that your little daughter is playing at, go do that, okay? And we can always come back to this. So I think that being sensitive to those things is also very important from, you know, showing the flexibility and really not just delight in terms of a word to use, but having the walk along with it, that, you know, that you will give them challenging work, you will show them the rewards, and you will invest into education and bringing them to the newest platforms like Android and like the, you know, iPhone 3.0 and so on and so forth. And a lot of people are, it's amazing what output we are getting.
Would you say, like when John mentioned that there's the word mentoring or mentor, would you say there's a myth around the fact that Gen Y is trying to be prima donnas for the most part and they don't want to be mentored, or you've seen signs where they are ready to be mentored by someone who they really look up to?
Yeah, I think it's an equation of respect. You know, you have to earn respect with them. That they will question, and they'll question because of you know, equal playing ground now, so to speak, with all the information that's out there. So you know, they want to be mentored, absolutely, because, you know, a lot of the things that we do, especially in technology, you know, you need to have pretty in-depth knowledge and very detailed knowledge of systems and platforms and data warehouses and so on, which resides in the organization and among people that have been here for some time, and it's not something that you're born with. So, and it's amazing because you know, we have a very healthy work environment in that we have all generations working here, right? If you mandate a mentor to someone, it's not going to work. It's really, in this case, it's two things. First is the respect, and second is the chemistry. And amazing how it's just amazing for us to see who follows who.
What do you think about the level of mentoring that you see is going to be successful, John, in bringing them up to speed to what you're expecting out of them?
Well, they bring an incredible amount of technical knowledge to the workplace. And channeling that knowledge into how to apply that technology into the business environment really is where the mentoring can help a lot. How do you get things done in this world we call work? They don't have a lot of that people skill yet from the world of work, and giving them the opportunity to understand how to accomplish tasks that require that participation level is something that many of them will find challenging, because they come from a world that has a lot of social networking already embedded in it. So they understand the norms of that world, but the world of work has a little more structure to it, and helping them understand that through a mentor can help them gain the success they need.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and see if we are truly bending over backwards in some areas where you truly don't feel that you have to do it, but just because this new breed of workforce that is arriving at our doorstep and they're joining the workforce, we have to do it. Are there any specific attributes that you specifically may not like, or would you like to see change so that it truly will be a difference, a positive difference that you can bring? Because everything is a package deal usually. You get some negatives, you get some positives. So you're trying to reinforce some things like the positive attributes, but you have to also help them get over the negatives. So what are those negatives, if at all? What are the perceived negatives we look out there in the Gen Y which you'd like to see change? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss and explore this.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement, get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol.com. Visit today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, question is that are we truly bending over backwards when we are trying to accommodate this Gen Y workforce? And are there specific areas where we are looking at that this is something that they should be working versus, these are the weak areas of improvement that you would see in these people versus these are the positives. So, if everything is good and we are accommodating things around them, then I think at some point it will turn to be counterproductive because the managers themselves are going out of their character to make that happen. So, John, would you say it is a good idea for us to kind of say, your wish is my command, and let us accommodate you in any way possible?
Well, as I indicated before, you can use the desires that the individual has to use in approach to get things that you need done as well. I don't think that you have to bend over to every demand, but I think you can use them in order to get the work accomplished that you still have to get done.
So when was the last time you told them that this is something that is not acceptable, and what was it?
I'm not sure I can give you a direct example, but some of the things that we've seen range from dress in the workplace to taking long lunch hours that interrupt the flow of work that have to be dealt with. Because if there's commitments that have been made, then we need to remind people those are commitments that they made, and we need to help them make sure they meet them.
And as part of the mentoring, it definitely makes sense for us to bring out the areas of improvement that there are there and some things which are not acceptable in the workforce environment, no matter how much are we trying to accommodate them. So, Tim, if you were to inventory those areas where you would like to see things getting changed, maybe over a period of time, not tomorrow, what would those be?
A change in what sense?
In the sense in their behavior, in the way they carry out things, because we are trying to accommodate the heck out of us, right? We are changing our own character. You know, almost to accommodate this new workforce, but at some place you would draw the line, or would some areas be there which you would say, no, this is where it stops?
No, I think that it's really an area on how you give direction and insight and set the goal for the team. And some of the values that we are, promoting here, you know, is that we believe everything fails and everyone will fail. Okay, and we build to that. All right? So failure, so to speak, is welcome, and welcome fast. Don't wait 6 months or even a week to tell me when you know today something is going to fail. So getting that value, really ingrained in the organization is very important, because the drive to succeed and the celebration of success is so overrated that, you know, we lose on what we can learn from some of the failures, and a lot of the times we learn from those at quite late. And, in the fast-moving world of technology and retail, it just can't be done that way. So, you know, constantly we expect people to understand that, failure is okay, and fail first time and fail in newer things. Don't repeat the same things again and again and again. So I think that getting that value ingrained and ensuring that people live to that and perform to that and communicate to that at a rapid fire pace is very critical to your success and success of the organization and this particular workforce, because they are so enamored with success. The politicians use this quote, right? Never waste a crisis, right? And I think that is a good quote for us here too. The second value that we are expecting here is that, you know, expect nobody to change. Okay, people hate change. People do not like to change. Nobody enjoys change. And so, you know, we had to build around that, you know, how can we do a passive recovery of our systems and technology when we see that people aren't using the way it is supposed to be, or are not changing their behaviors and habits when a transformation is required. So I think that those things, because coming into a workplace, you would simply say that, hey, you know, people will adapt and change and do to what you are doing and leading them and building to. And I think that's a failure-prone assumption, especially in an organization of 350,000 odd people, right? When you are trying to provide technology solutions, communication solutions to a huge mass, and then when you add the vendors, it's a 3.5 million people ecosystem that we support. So that's also those two are extremely important to coach and train people on that. That failure, the first time failure is welcome, and fast-paced, rapid-fire communication around it. Expect no one to change and build for that. And the third thing that we have had to do is, you know, really tell people to go home. It's time to go home because sometimes we have found that when they take on some of these challenges, they get so involved in it that we've had difficulty in getting them to take a break. So we are constantly managing to that, and our management teams and directors and all are very sensitive to the fact that, you know, we don't have a burnout type scenario occurring here. So those three things is that, you know, the mesh of work and life sometimes becomes to the point where we actually have to say that, okay, now it's time to take a break.
So since there's an innate desire of this workforce group, subgroup, is to make an impact, and so if you were to inventory the type of tasks that we would typically give to someone who's coming and joining afresh from into the workforce, we give them things which are slowly going to get them acclimated to what's going on. And at the same time, this Gen Y wants to immediately go and hit the ground running and want to make, you know, create waves, if you will. So would you change the style of orienting an individual into a company because this new breed of workforce has arrived? Tim?
Regarding the orientation, I mean, you know, you really have to play to the strengths of people, right? And the way we are managing is that, you know, we simply don't support, you know, huge, you know, three-year-long type projects. You know, most of the projects we do are very quick hit, rapid type projects. For example, in the last 4 months, you know, we have delivered 484 projects, IT projects for the business. You know, this requires a muscle where, you know, you have an organization that keeps things stable, you have an organization that keeps the in-flight, in-flight, and then you have the third strength, which is someone who can come in and do some rapid things and get on and off the bus as required. And what we find is that with Gen Y, we actually get them a lot of the times in what we, you know, call here the garage, which is the rapid project, and find that, you know, they, as John has alluded, they come with enormous technology talent, especially the perspective they bring with the modern technologies and what's going on with the social networking and the whole, you know, whole advent of social, you know, is very important to us. And what they bring, the understanding and their involvement in it, you know, so we get them onto those projects to do with social network, to do with, you know, social commerce and areas like that that touch the area of their life that they're already involved in. In some of those kind of projects, you'll see that, you know, we have up to, you know, 80-90% that are Gen Ys, and they thrive in that environment. And then other areas where we have tremendous legacy, you know, being over a 100-year-old company, we also find that they, you know, given the right time, they excel in and help us convert, you know, a lot of the legacies into services as well. So it really is something that, you know, you got to work with the individual. I encourage my leaders to ensure that, you know, we, first of all, hire the best, And with the commitment from them that they will be the best that they are every day for us. And the second is that, you know, they'll have the most fun and make my workplace the funnest workplace that they've ever worked in. And when you do this, mix along with the, you know, just the dashboards we've got going in terms of, you know, which team is doing what project and how they're going, and there's just this cauldron of internal competition. They really thrive in this, and we throw folks in pretty deep end when they start to go and perform and produce, and you'll see that we have a pretty good hit rate. It's not 100%, but a pretty good hit rate in terms of getting a very, very successful output.
So, John, have you changed any of your tasks that you would give as part of them coming on board as fresh graduates and or fresh people into the workforce, just because they want to make an impact and you want to get them oriented?
We've had to in order to get them to acclimate. I remember an intern that we had here who was doing some work for me using a spreadsheet, and I was able to sit down and show them a few things about how to get the software to do things, and that helped build that mentoring relationship because they were going at it the hard way, and I showed them a way where they could do it with a few clicks of a mouse, and they were kind of amazed that someone at my level took the time to sit down and work with them on that. Again, as Tim said, you've got to throw them all the way in and give them a chance to learn. They're much more willing to experiment and take risks than some of the earlier generations in the workplace. And you have to capitalize on that to give them the opportunity to learn on their own. So creating that environment of where they can learn on their own and you can also help mentor them, I think, creates a positive work environment that they're excited to work in.
Now, John, you mentioned sometime, in the previous question or the one before, about multitasking, and they said they can do much better multitasking than others. Now, is that truly a good thing? If you're juggling too many balls, are you truly able to focus on one?
You know, I think that the story is yet to be written on that. Some of the really interesting new developments that we've seen in the web space have come from that generation. They've been pretty successful in taking what I would consider an experiment and making something fairly popular with it. And mashups are a great example. That's sure not something that my generation created. That's something that people said, I want to put this data all together and present it in this way. And then, you know, one of my jobs is to ensure that what they need to be successful is made available to them.
So, Tim, would you encourage multitasking when you want the work get done? And, of course, they're handling three different things. Would you say smartness is multitasking or multitasking is smartness?
You know, it's a very interesting question here because, Sanjog, I mean, somebody put it this way much smarter than me. There's no such thing as multitasking. It's many tasks done sequentially, right? So you really are actually processing one thing at a time, but doing it many things in a doing it faster and at a much faster rate. But, you know, true multitasking is, you know, brushing your teeth and reading BlackBerry. That's the only way you're physical and mentally engaged. There is a need for focus, our work is something that, you know, you can't just download a piece of code and without changing, deploy it and expect it to make the right database calls while you're, you know, watching news or, listening to some music. It does require concentration. I believe Google was the one, right? They sent their Wave team to Australia to do the development for the past 18 months because I believe one of the reasons, and I'm not 100% sure, is to just get away from the noise and the multitasking of being in Mountain View. And they felt that it was best done so far away, they went to the ends of the earth. And the product actually is in beta now, you know. So I think that there is something to be said about, you know, multitasking where it applies. But in a lot of the work that requires to be done and results to be delivered, I think that, you know, we gotta assist the Gen Y to give them the space they need. I think more than multitasking, it's an issue of space and noise and how we can reduce that so they can focus on and get the work they need to get done, get the education they need to get done. But it is a detail-oriented thing. And, you know, I would not, for example, get on a 747 jet that was built by engineers that were multitasking, you know. And so many of our systems are you know, likened to that type of thing. I mean, we are, you know, say master data. You know, I wouldn't want my master data to be built by people who are multitasking. You know, that's what runs the whole infrastructure. So, yeah, there is place for, you know, brushing teeth and reading BlackBerry, and then there is place to focus.
Now, how would you envision an organization where the CIO, like yourself, is actually a grown-up Gen Y, and also majority of the workforce is Gen Y as well? Tim?
Yeah, we have what I would classify as a Coldplay concert, right? I don't know if you've been to a concert that Coldplay does. They have all age groups in that concert. You know, you see, like, really old people to really young people, and everyone in between, you know. It's a very interesting crowd that hangs out at the Coldplay concert. And I liken my team to more like that because we have, you know, as I said, the legacy systems here from 40 years ago, written in machine language and assembler.
Wow.
We have PHP going with iPhone app, which we, by the way, won the award for just recently. On Sears2Go.com, you know, so we have a very amazing workforce, and we respect all ages that are here, the young and the old, including our retirees. You know, we count them as our inheritance and respect them and what they have done for the company. So when you look at this, it's really, you know, creating a workplace where, you know, there is respect. There is respect for age and knowledge. For example, just recently, you know, one of our team, you know, we had this one function that took like three nights or four nights of batch processing to get the result. And this is a 40-year-old process that was never touched. And we put a team of Gen Y and you know, baby boomers and older folks in a room and said, listen, I want this real time at the speed of web. And guess what? 2 weeks later, they came back, changed things in 20 different places in my infrastructure and said, hey, we have taken that four-day process down to 2 hours. You know, and that was done with Gen Y and others in a room. So, again, I'll go back to, you know, the values we talked about in terms of the challenge, in terms of the delight, in terms of the flexibility. And, you know, creating a workforce that, you know, is built on respect for knowledge, hard work ethic, and you know, we get definitely an environment where, you know, we expect them to be the best as well as have the most fun while they're here.
So, John, very quickly, a minute left. What do you think? How would you like to see your state's department if Gen Y, grown-up Gen Y, taking over as CIO, and you got the rest of the workforce, of the crew, as Gen Y as well?
Well, first of all, it's a reality. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're all going to reach a point where we want to become that respected retiree. And, you know, our job today is to challenge them and give them the experiences that we've had, because we all seem to learn best from our experience. We don't learn by being lectured at. And I think Gen Y is probably more so that way, that they want to learn by doing. So give them the experiences, and they will perform. And I think Tim has, you know, as I have, that given a great mountain to climb, they will go climb that mountain. And we need to give them the opportunities to do that.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Tim and John, for sharing your thoughts about how we can get the best out of this Gen Y workforce and how can we make our organizations ready for this new workforce.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you again. Now, some may say that this new generation, we call it Gen Y, is simply unmanageable and unruly. But the fact is that they are simply different due to the environment they grow in. And instead of transforming them into the current corporate culture, which in fact could be counterproductive, it might make sense to provide them the environment in which they would naturally flourish and provide value to the organization they will join and stay at. Now, yes, they are challenging our age-old norms on how an employee should behave in a corporate setting, like anything else. Doesn't it make sense for us to embrace this change? Please send us your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.